We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Carol, you don't do a lot of airplane travel, do you?
I do some. Yeah, I'm not flying every month.
Well, you know, my wife travels like every single week.
Yeah, I am not a business person, right, like your wife who travels.
But have you had things? And the reason I bring this up is there was a website that put a bunch of pictures together and really kind of showed what people do on airplanes that they shouldn't do. And I've had some stories that my wife has told me recently, and I'll give you an example of this one, and we'll go through some of the things that are on this list. But she said, and this person must have been mentally ill, I'm guessing, they're up in the air. They're not on the ground and on the tarmac, and there's a woman with her phone in her hand, and she's having a full-on, full-blown conversation with none other than Michelle Obama. Oh. The flight attendant came up and said, ma'am, are you really, I mean, they're in the air, right? Are you really on the phone? And I can't remember what Becky said she said, but she just kept going. You know, she kept going on talking with Michelle about her new boyfriend and stuff like that. Here's a little hint. She wasn't really talking to Michelle Obama. But she just kept going on and was having this like super impassioned conversation.
Did Becky record any of it?
She did not. And she talked about that afterwards, and she was going to. She kind of felt bad about it because I think the woman was clearly okay. Troubled. So I think my wife is a lot more sensitive than I am. Well, who isn't? There was, you missed your, but I mean, certainly I would have recorded that. There's no doubt about that because she said that everyone, you know, was paying attention to it.
You have
happened.
To, you know, you, and I, if I had identified that the person, you know, had some mental health issues, I wouldn't have recorded them either, because you don't want to agitate.
Well, right.
You know, you don't want to do that. And I don't know. I don't want to agitate in most situations, but that's an odd one. And was she saying, hey, Michelle Obama, how are you? I mean, who says whole name?
Yes.
I can't remember.
She just was going, oh, Michelle. And then she was talking about her boyfriend, who didn't exist either. But she had a spirited conversation. But anyway, they did this list of things, strange behaviors spotted on planes. And there are a few of these things I have witnessed. There are a few that I haven't.
I only have two.
So the first picture is of someone with their computer up against the back of the chair in front of them. And then the person that's sitting in that chair in front of them, their hair is flowing over their seat and basically in front of the picture or the screen of the computer. And they actually show a couple of these where people are just sitting there with their headphones on, and there's a girl with long blonde hair, and she just took it upon herself to not tuck her hair in behind her head in the seat, and it just flows over the seat itself.
I would
that
tell
seems
you,
a little unnecessary.
I would tell you to move your
hair.
Yeah,
what would you do? What would Carol Daniel do if somebody did that?
I would say, excuse me, ma'am, but your hair is in my area.
Because I think I would do that too.
Hair falls out, and right. That has DNA in it. I don't want your hair in my life.
Here's a woman that has Bose headphones on, and what do they call those, sleep mask, and she has a blanket wrapped around her face.
She just has over her eyes sleep mask?
It's like, yeah, but can you see this picture? She's got it over her head, and you basically cannot see her. Now,
wow.
The person who did the article said, the problem, if she's in an aisle seat, I would not want to be the person who had to ask her to move in order to use the restroom. She seems way too comfortable to bother. I don't know about that.
That almost looks like goggles.
It really does. Then they have a picture of a guy that's basically changing clothes on the plane. He pulls his pants off, and you see his.
No, no, no. You need to be. You need to be arrested. That's not. No, you can't be nude. I mean.
Yeah. Then there's a guy that is just
not that he was totally nude.
No, he wasn't totally nude, but still, you saw a little bit too much of him than you wanted to. Then there's a guy who's relaxing. He's got the sleep mask on, and his shirt is completely unbuttoned, and belly is exposed. there's a bunch of pictures in here with people just with things.
I have never seen anything that strange.
I haven't seen anything like that either.
I've flown internationally, and I've not seen anything that strange.
Look at this one here. Can you see this picture?
Hold on, here I come.
This is some guy that's basically sitting in a plastic bag for some reason.
Nuts.
Yeah, I don't. Why would you do that? And then the other one is just basically
it's like
a guy
the boy
with
in the bubble
with a blanket on, right?
The strangest thing I've not seen anything weird, but I have witnessed people, and this is, again, it's not weird, but people who buy food in the airport, hot food, and bring it onto the plane and eat.
My wife hates that.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Now,
what's that? Dave says there's a term for that. What is that?
There's a term for that?
Sky pigs? Well, because the problem is that when you bring the big Subway sandwich that has all those onions and everything on
it,
it's being relatively insensitive to the person next to you.
Or if you've gone, you know, getting some Mongolian beef or something.
Right.
Especially when it's
7 in the morning.
Some spicy something. No, everybody doesn't need to smell your food, you know? So I just don't think that is, I would not do that. Now, I have brought, a pastry.
Sure. Well, there are things that don't have a scent that will smell up the whole plane.
Right.
I think that's basically, even a piece of pizza is going to smell up the plane.
It's going to smell up the plane. And the other thing I don't want to see is, please don't take your shoes off on the plane. Please don't take your shoes off on the plane.
Period.
What if
you have like a really long flight? Because I have done that before. I will tell you that I've done that before.
I don't want to. Do you have socks on?
Yes.
Now, I really don't want to see bare feet.
Yeah.
I have seen bare feet on planes, I've seen children in bare feet, which I have no understanding of how you are letting your child walk around
a
plane.
If you have flip-flops on or something like that, you basically have bare feet anyway, don't you?
Don't fly in flip-flops either.
That's probably a good rule.
Don't fly in flip-flops. But they do. I know they do. But no, don't fly in flip-flops, because I don't want to see your toes.
In this piece, there's a picture of somebody that is actually painting their nails. And these were fingernails, but they were painting their nails on the plane. That's going to be a little pungent.
No.
Right?
And I remember when I was pregnant with my first child, that smell made me nauseous.
I can see that.
Of nail polish and nail remover made me nauseous. So that would not be good.
Here's one where the person that has the window seat. So envision you're on the plane, the window's on your left side, and then peeking out from that left side where your armrest is somebody else's toes, because they're stretching. Yeah, they're stretching their feet.
Definitely no.
From the other position.
I did hear a comedian say once, and I don't know if this is true, it was a comedian, that they were in the window seat and someone in the aisle seat reached across them to try to pull a shade down.
Well, that's pretty gutsy, right?
That's pretty gutsy. Yeah, pretty gutsy. Yeah,
I don't even know how I'd react if somebody did that.
Your hand's not going to make it across my body. I'm going to physically stop you from reaching across my body.
Okay, so that begs the next question, because you have people that fall asleep on planes, and then you have this issue that seemingly is getting worse, where larger people take up more than one seat, and the person, there was this case that I talked about a few weeks ago, where the person got really upset, and she started talking very loudly about the two, I think she made a phone call, and there were two fat people, one to the left, one to the right, and my understanding was these weren't just moderately overweight people, they were rather big, and the woman decided to really fat shame them on the plane.
Mm.
Not supporting
not cool.
that, I don't
not
think
cool.
that's cool, but...
It's on the airline to handle
okay,
that.
Okay, so that, but that is a legitimate issue. For flying, you
and
would say.
I think it is a legitimate issue, and I'm not the smallest person either, but I'm not morbidly, but I am obese.
But now, come on.
Technically.
I'm going to stop that. that's ridiculous.
Are you trying to make some sound effects there?
Because we're talking about people. You are
I understand.
And I'm not just saying this to be nice, because I'm not nice. You know that, Carol. What I'm saying is that you're not the type of person, if I'm sitting next to you on an airplane, that's going to create me being uncomfortable because of you and your arm flaps over.
What I'm saying is that I am aware of my space in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just aware of that. And I have flown, and I've not been next to anyone who, you know, took up the whole seat. But I don't know how the airline, when you buy your ticket online, they don't know. They do not know what you look like.
No.
And so when you show up, who at what point is supposed to say, I am sorry, ma'am, I am sorry, sir, you either need to buy a second seat. I mean, if the plane's not full, we can move you. But the airline has to handle that. The airline has to handle that. If you have to buy a seat extender, which some people do, they have to buy the seatbelt extender because it's not big enough.
That is on them.
They have to pay for that? Does the airline? And I am extremely sensitive as one who has never been a size 2. I'm extremely sensitive to how the world fat shames you. Just in general, I am extremely sensitive to that. But when flying, I don't want your bare feet and I don't want your thigh touching mine.
That's part of it. I mean,
I don't want that.
I don't think that your arm too. I mean, if your arm is overlapping the seat, I have my seat and maybe I don't need that armrest on the right side. I always sit on the aisle because I have the bladder that is smaller than my 4-year-old daughter. And I'm not exaggerating.
Thank
that.
Thank you, old man. Right. Old man bladder.
And the reason I do that is because I'm actually trying to be somewhat considerate. I don't want to have to climb over people multiple times during the flight. And that flight, I could be flying to Chicago. So that's like a 40-minute flight.
Right.
I'll have to pee 3 times probably.
An exaggeration. There's medicine for that.
That is an exaggeration. But it's the Diet Coke, because when I drink my poison, the caffeine basically aggravates
I will say,
that's the scientific explanation, Carol. I just thought I'd pass it along.
I agree with you. Dr. Reardon, you can call him now. Line up your calls. I have flown with my mother who is overweight. And when I fly with her, I make sure that she's the either window and I am the center. So we don't have to address, we don't have to deal with anything. So I'm sitting next to her. We've done that.
But what about the aisle? There's still the aisle, isn't there?
Well, if she's in the aisle, then maybe she's, you know, in the aisle. Her arm is in the aisle.
Oh, and I see what you're saying.
Next to her. So I put her in the window, and I sit in the. That's what we have done the several times we have flown together. I put her at the window, and I sit in the middle. Now that's me taking care of my mom because I know what could happen. I know people are cruel. And I know people have space issues. I understand that. You're trying to be considerate, right? Well, I'm being protective. I'm not being considerate of anybody else. I'm being protective of my own mother. Because I'd be in jail if you came at my mother. It's going to go down. It's going to go down. Let me just tell you that. My mother, my children, my husband. Sometimes even you, Mark. I've defended you. I've almost gotten into fights over you. That's a whole other conversation.
I believe it. I do believe it.
Dave is like, I understand that.
Right. Well, there's just so many funny pictures in here of the things that people do. There's one that's got basically meat. It looks like a piece of chicken or something that was chewed off the bone. And then somebody put it into the little thing where the magazines go and everything. Right.
Stop it.
Yeah, I know.
Can we just not be nasty?
Well, and then there's just some of the things that happen with people who are, I think you and I talked about this a few weeks ago. There should be just some sort of, you know, you have the button that calls the flight attendant and that indicates there's the button for the light. There should be another button that says, if I'm sitting next to you, politely, I don't want to talk to you, okay? I don't really want to hear your problems. Now, I do enjoy if someone is conversive on a plane. I like it. So, but some people, and it depends on your mood too, you want to say, hey, we're going to keep this one quiet.
Put your sunglasses on and put your headphones on. Now, I was flying to, was this Vegas? And I was at the window, and the guy in the middle was a Marine. And oh my God, he was just so gorgeous. He was a beautiful specimen of manhood.
Well, this has taken a different direction, one that I did not expect.
And he had the best conversation. We talked about our spouses. We talked about where to go get the perfect marbled steak. We talked about his service. We talked about my dad. I mean, it was just a fantastic conversation.
Yeah, but if he was dog ugly, you wouldn't have said a word to him.
Well, I am a nice person. I don't think I'm, you know, this, you know, model beautiful. So I'm very compassionate with all measure and manner of man.
I've had great conversations with people on airplanes.
Ugly really, ones, you're saying?
Absolutely. Just people. But again, sometimes.
But if you don't want to talk.
Right.
You know,
and
sunglasses,
you have to do moderation
and headphones.
Too. And you have to—I think you have to be aware of the people that are around you too, because you are affecting their flight.
Here's another one. There's no picture of this, but bad breath,
coffee breath. Don't
bad
get me
breath.
Started.
Coffee breath is coffee breath. I get, but bad breath and BO. Seriously.
Well, the list goes on. Carol's back here in a few minutes with the news.
It's not just talk.
Blah blah blah.
It's thought-provoking talk. Mark Reardon on KMOX.
Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can always download the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon. The Reardon Roundtable, always very popular for downloads. In fact, we have the panel set for this Friday. Jane Duker, Jeff Rainford, and Greg Keller all here Friday afternoon. Coming up in the next segment here after 3:30, I'm excited about this because the book is awesome. Steve Pick's coming in. He wrote about music for many, many years. Used to review, as I remember, he reviewed a lot of concerts and things like that in the 1980s for the Post-Dispatch. Music critic, co-author of St. Louis Sound and Illustrated Timeline. It's basically a really cool coffee table book that runs down the history of music and those folks who had connections to St. Louis, like Michael Stipe. I had no idea that Michael Stipe went to high school in Collinsville, and I think he went to Edwardsville, so from REM, of course. We'll talk about that here in a second. Let's welcome in News 4's Chief Meteorologist Steve Templeton, not to check on the weather of the day, although he can comment on that. How are you, Steve?
Hey, good to be with you. I'm good, thanks.
We're going to talk a little bit about flooding here, but before we get to that, good flipping Lord, when is this going to end?
You mean the cold? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man, I'm tired of it too. It's still cold tonight, I'll tell you that. We're going down to the low teens, about 14. It's not going to be as windy. But tomorrow we go above freezing. So we're going to get a lot more melting tomorrow, the high close to 40 degrees. And it's really up and up from there. By the weekend, we're in the 50s with a chance for rain and some thunderstorms. One caveat though, we do have to watch Thursday. There could be a little rain, snow mix.
I heard about that.
It's above freezing though.
Okay.
So I think for the most part, we should be in St. Louis at least okay. North-northeast of St. Louis, maybe a little slushy snow mix.
So you wrote, I'm going to talk to you about the column that you wrote about flooding, but let's talk about the tornado because, man, it's almost like we're desensitized to these things, but the amazing amount of devastation from that tornado in Alabama is just quite stunning. But we've seen these things before, and it's almost like people say, you know, we've seen it in Springfield. I don't know. There's something about that weather event in particular where I feel like we're all desensitized, even though 23 people died.
I hope we're not desensitized.
I hope so, too. And today was what? National Tornado Drill Day, right?
Yeah, this is Severe Weather Awareness Week. There was a tornado drill statewide at 10 a.m. this morning, and now's the time to start thinking of your plan. I mean, that Alabama tornado, it's a single tornado, killed 23 people, and the last time we had that many people die was about 6 years ago in Moore, Oklahoma. Now, these don't happen often, but they do happen, and we need to be prepared. That's part of the deal, is you got to think now about how do you get the warning? Do you have a plan? If you're at work, school, church, where would you go? And have a safety kit. Those are the three things to think about.
So when it comes to flooding, I've heard a little bit about this in the past couple of weeks because obviously there was a lot of snow. My wife's aunt lives up in Eagle River, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And just in the month of February, she said, now I don't, these are not official meteorological totals and you could check it, but I think she told me 60 inches just in the month of February up there. So there's a lot of snow up north. We've had a lot of rain. That's going to affect what happens to the Mississippi, the Missouri, and the Illinois River, right?
And around here, when people hear flooding, they instantly think of the Merrimack. The Merrimack reacts to short-term heavy rain. That's something you really can't predict until you see it about 7 to 10 days out. What we're talking about right here for the spring flood outlook is the combination of this was the 12th wettest winter on record here, so our soil's wet. You get typical spring rains plus all that snow melt up north. It's the big rivers like the Missouri, the Illinois, and especially the Mississippi that are going to react. And there's an above normal chance for them to flood. And this is a small chance, but kind of here's the extreme just to think about to put us on guard for this. It's a 5% chance for the Mississippi at St. Louis to reach within about a half a foot of the 93 record.
Well, that's a small chance, but you know, I think we all feel like something is going to eventually happen again, whether it's in our lifetime or not, that is pretty serious along those lines from 93.
Yeah, and you know, the Mississippi rivers has been, the infrastructure has been built up to handle high water better than, say, smaller rivers like the Merrimack, so keep that in mind. And you could also spin it this way. It's a 95% chance of that not happening. But I think that small chance and the fact that there is so much snow, like you said, up north, we just have to be on guard and be watching and prepared for some significant flooding on the big river.
So in the column you said, you mentioned the Merrimack, but you said it's not necessarily related to some of the same things that you're talking about with the Mississippi and the Missouri and the Illinois River, but if you get a lot of spring rains, and I think in the column you mentioned Arnold and Fenton area, which is where Dave Klein and I live, you could have an effect there.
And one of the interesting things of the effect there is you would have heavy rain that would help raise the Merrimack, but if the Mississippi's really high, the Merrimack can't dump into the Mississippi, so it backs up and it backs up. And when you're close to where it dumps into Mississippi, that's Arnold and Valley Park and Fenton, you get an effect where the Merrimack goes higher than it otherwise would be because it can't release all that water into the Mississippi. So a high Mississippi is bad news for the Merrimack if we get heavy spring rains.
Okay, well, none of this sounds too promising, Templeton. I just got to tell you right now. You know what I'm looking forward to? thinking about this the other day. You know, I call it the 10% days.
Like, yeah.
You know, basically that 70-degree day, mm-hmm. 68, 72, 73, low humidity that's just picture perfect. And you would have to think we're not too far away from some of those as we get closer to April.
Think we deserve a handful of those coming up. This has been a rough winter. And even this week, I talked about the chance of maybe some rain snow mixed to the north, chance of storms. It looks like a wet Saturday. It's like, come on, how about a weekend where it's just one of those 10% days?
I took off next Monday and Tuesday just to take care of some business. And quite candidly, I picked those days thinking, oh, you know what? The weather might be halfway decent by mid-March. And it still looks, I think we might get in the 40s, mid-40s, maybe upper 40s, but not exactly what I was looking for, Steve.
It's amazing how relative weather is. A high of 49 near 50 sounds halfway decent based on our recent weather.
Well, that's not true.
60 and 70 for you, but that's about where you'll be Sunday.
Have you seen or heard from Diane in Brooklyn? Do you know Diane in Brooklyn?
No.
Listen here.
We get mad because of snowing, but it's winter outside. I mean, we are a bunch of wet people. Okay?
That may or may not be my cut of the day in extended form. It's actually pretty funny. Diane was caught just on a street when some dude was playing guitar, and she's gone viral, basically saying, hey, you know, it was 3 degrees 2 weeks ago. It's fine now. Lighten up. It's still winter. She may have a point there.
A little tough love from Diane and Brooklyn.
But we have daylight saving time kicks in this weekend.
Yes. Yeah. So we have, let's see, it's 5 days until that, Saturday night into Sunday morning. Then we got 15 days until the spring equinox, spring starts, and then 30 days until the Cardinals' home opener. So
that makes us feel better.
Some spring milestones to warm your thoughts, at least your spirit.
Steve, I will talk to you live at 4:40 this afternoon.
All right. Sounds good.
News 4's Chief Meteorologist Steve Templeton, who's with us every day here on KMOX, giving us an update on some of the flooding possibilities. Welcome back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back, we're going to talk a little music here in this segment. I'm excited about. There's a brand new book out called St. Louis Sound, an Illustrated Timeline, a coffee table book. It looks beautiful. Written by Steve Pick with Amanda Doyle. And Steve is in the studio with me this afternoon to run through some of these things. Steve Pick, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Nice to meet you in person. When I saw the book, instantly, you know, interested because of my affinity for music, but I remember your name because I used to be that kid in the 80s. I'd go to a concert, I'd cut the review out from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I would put it with some pictures that I may have taken. I ended up, and I was telling you this story a little bit off the air, I ended up backstage for a lot of shows in the 1980s, so I love to collect some of that stuff. And I was a fan of your work, I will say that genuinely.
Thank you.
So this book, it runs through the entire, this goes way back in history, even further than I thought you would have gone, to sort of chronicle the music history and the connections that St. Louis has to the rest of the music world, right?
Yeah, the idea, primarily it covers the last 100 years, but we wanted to acknowledge that there were people here before the settlers. There were the Mound people that lived in the area. And then once the settlers got here, that all these different cultures met and brought their own kinds of music.
I think I read in Joe Edwards does a nice intro here, but I think I read in one of the introductions too that when you were preparing this book, that Chuck Berry died during that period, right?
Yes, he died. It occurred to me at that moment that so much of what was covered in the book, well, everything that you could actually hear that's covered in the book happened while he was alive, pretty much, because it was all, there was no recording business before Chuck Berry was born, really. I mean, there was, but not in the way that that we know it. So, yeah.
So, what was the goal overall here, outside of just having a really cool coffee table book, which has great pictures in, but what were you guys going for?
Well, we wanted to tell the history of music in St. Louis. We wanted to show that there's so much more that has happened here than people think. That just because, you know, you think of Nashville as country or New Orleans as blues and jazz, we have had all these different kinds of music happen in this city, and some of the most important artists of all time have lived right here in St. Louis.
Were there things when you were doing, because there were several things, and I'll point to them in a moment, that really surprised me that I did not know about, and I'll offer an example here in a second, but were there things, as much as you know and have written about music as a journalist, were there things that surprised you in doing the research?
I think the biggest thing that surprised me was the breadth of what has occurred, because almost every artist in this book was somebody that I knew and had listened to for a long time, but I always thought of them as individuals. But to suddenly realize that all of them came from right here in the same place, that was kind of mind-boggling.
So here's the one that I had no idea, and I'll toss it out here with this here. Michael Stipe went to Collinsville High School, and then did he go to Edwardsville also?
He went to SIU Edwardsville briefly. He dropped out. His father was in the armed services, and they moved around all the time. So he spent like a year or so here. But he was actually in one of the first new wave bands in St. Louis, Bad Habits, back in 1978.
That's interesting, too. I had no idea. And you go, you know, through a lot of these things. I marked, if you can see your book over here, I've marked your book with a bunch of little things that I thought were interesting. So let me, the big book, so let me open it up without, you know, throwing my microphone off. The other thing about the book is it's not just artists, right? There are important moments that happen. I did a KMOX profile on Steve Shankman last mm-hmm. year. And you think about the influence that contemporary productions had. And then, of course, Casey. You can't go, you know, throughout the country, and I still talk to classic rock artists today during interviews on my show of people that credit Casey for their success. I mean, look at Ted Nugent and Rush, and the documentary points that out that they did. But the influence that Casey had on rock music coming from this community and this city in the Midwest is really, it's hard to put a, you know, a number on it, isn't it?
Right. I mean, people, if you weren't here at the time, you just cannot imagine how unified it was, that it was, that they had the power to make or break any rock band. And as I said in there, that it almost seemed like every kid at the age of 13 was issued a Casey shirt, and he kept wearing it until he was 30. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I moved here in 79, and I was, the station that I listened to in Chicago was WLUP, The Loop, which was a pretty influential station as well. But I was very comfortable in the transition to St. Louis. The only difference was, it was interesting, there were a lot of artists, often one artist that got a lot of play in Chicago that people here never even heard of. And you'll be familiar with them because you're a music guy. When I went to Parkway West, I would wear a shirt that said UFO. And people thought I was talking about aliens or something like that. Well, the great Michael Shanker was in a band called UFO. And it was a successful, I don't even want to say heavy metal band from England, but rock band. Mm-hmm. And they had great influence around the world. Not as much here in St. Louis. People didn't know them. But Leonard Skinner wasn't getting a whole lot of play up in Chicago. But here, it was all about Southern rock. You know, yeah. And then Molly Hatchet and all those acts, too, that Casey really had influence on.
Yeah, I mean, and they also were very influential in the negative, too, in that they kept a lot of my favorite bands from being heard.
For example?
Elvis Costello, who they only touched for 2 weeks, and that's a whole story in and of itself.
Yeah, so what you're saying is, like, in that early 80s period where there was a bit of a transition with newer types of music, it was just, they kept in their lane. I mean, they knew what their audience wanted.
Right, they knew exactly what they wanted, and they made a lot of money doing it, so you can't blame them. A
couple of the other things outside of artists here, the influence of Mississippi Nights. You know, I saw many shows at Mississippi Nights. You even get into Cicero's here, too, which was mm-hmm. another connection that people had. But those venues and a lot of acts that still come through today, I can't remember who it was. I think it was... Now, Eric Church, I think, mentioned the pageant, but there was someone recently that came through at a show that I saw, and they mentioned it, you know, doing those shows at Mississippi Nights. Mm-hmm. They remember those, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what else is on here that I mentioned. Michael Stipe, some of the other things. Oh, here's one. And anyone who goes to live music, if you go to the pageant or Off-Broadway or Old Rock House or anything else, and I didn't know his history went back so far, 1981, Beetle Bob. Steve, explain to people who don't know Beetle Bob, why Beetle Bob is such an icon here in St. Louis seeing live music?
Well, because he's seen more of it than anybody else, and he's danced that Beetle Bob thing that he does.
He looks like a he's got a haircut like a Beetle, right?
Right.
I don't even know if his name is Bob, is it?
It is,
okay,
yeah.
So he just shows up in the front row at a lot of shows, and he dances, and the artists have gotten to know him over the mm-hmm. years, too. They'll point him out at shows, and they'll kind of laugh, and I've never spoken with him. I've stood right next to him at many shows and watch his performance, because he sort of has a performance as well.
It is,
the
yeah.
Are on stage.
And it's funny because he travels too, and so sometimes you'll see videos of him in the front at other cities.
Yeah, yeah, like in documentaries or something like that. All right, boy, you go through Billy Peek. It's hard to go through all this stuff too. Off Broadway as a venue. Oh, Riverport. Let's go to that. And I pulled Little Guns N' Roses, of course, for the beginning of Riverport way back when, because that was certainly an important beginning for an outdoor music venue in St. Louis. But what happened with Guns N' Roses obviously put a little bit of an emphasis or exclamation point on that as well. What was it about Riverport that sort of changed things here in St. Louis? And many of us still call it Riverport, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't remember the name of it right now.
Hollywood Casino, I think. Yes, I want to say it right. I think it's yes. Hollywood Casino.
It was the first place in town that was dedicated to large, huge concerts. That was what it was built for. There were certainly 20,000 seat concerts before that at the arena or at Kiel Auditorium or at Busch Stadium would have even more, but those were all venues designed for something else. Riverport was designed to do concerts, and that was it.
Remember those super jams at Busch Stadium?
The first concert I ever saw, 1976 Super Jam. I was an usher at
Busch
Stadium.
Were you
really? At the time.
Wow, there's a little history for you. Okay, a couple of favorites of mine that I wanted to point out that you feature here. This, I think, is one of the best rock bands that people outside of St. Louis, or maybe some people in St. Louis, have never heard of, and I think it's a shame. You know who it is there? This Radar Gun, the Bottle
Rockets
from
yeah.
Festus, Missouri, and this album that came out early 1990s, I think it's one of the best rock records ever, and they never had that commercial success, but they're the type of band that if you talk to other rock bands, even the E Street Band, for example, they are aware of the Bottle Rockets, and they know how good they were, and that
brilliant,
was a good...
Brilliant
yeah.
songwriting, and just the tightest band that you can ever see. I mean, there's no... Nothing short of perfection when they play.
Now, Brian, I did a profile on Brian Henneman as well. That was great, great conversation. And Brian Henneman from the Bottle Rockets was, and I'm going to get some of this wrong probably, but he was essentially a guitar tech for
Uncle Tupelo.
Yeah. And it was...
Well, he was before that. I mean, Chicken Truck was the band that existed, and they played with Uncle Tupelo and a number of other bands that were coming around at that time. And then when they broke up, he became the guitar tech for Uncle Tupelo. And then he wound up playing on the first Wilco album. Basically, the first Wilco album is Brian Henneman's guitar. That's what you think of, those hooks that he comes up with on guitar.
And it was Tweety and Jay Farrar. They're driving down south because Henneman told me this story. They're trying to come up with a name for his band, and they see something about a bottle rocket stand or something, and they call them the Bottle Rockets. And then I'll go out with one more here who's featured, and I just love him. I think he's great. And by the way, he listens to KMOX occasionally because... I get feedback from him. The only bad thing about this guy is he's a Cubs fan, but we overlook that, and that's Pokey LaFarge. Pokey is not from St. Louis. He's from Bloomington, Illinois, and that's why he's unfortunately a person who's infected
line.
With the Cubs virus. But, man, he has just had this incredible run with unique music and, I think, interesting influences, and he's got a worldwide following based mm-hmm. right here in St. Louis. So,
yeah, there's nobody that does what he does, and somebody was asking me, what would you call it? And I said, hey, I've been being paid for 40 years to write about music. I don't know what you call yeah. it. It's just good.
Well, and you know, he doesn't like labels. I know yeah. that because I tried to pin him down on a label and he wasn't very comfortable with that. Are you guys doing some events before I let you go with the book? I want
yes.
to point that out.
The biggest thing is from March 23rd through 30th at 5 different venues around town, there's going to be the St. Louis Sound Festival. We have 3 bands each in different genres, jazz, blues, rock.
Very cool.
And you can find info on that at stlsoundproject.com.
Well, Steve, there are a lot of books that come before me, and I'm not a big book author type of guy for my radio show, but when I saw this one, especially with the tie-in with you, since I knew your name, the book is fantastic. It really is.
Thank you.
Really is interesting, and I've gotten through quite a bit of it just reading the interesting stories, a lot of things that I did not know. So it's called St. Louis Sound, an Illustrated Timeline. Steve Pick, good luck with it. Amanda Doyle also helped write the book, so hello to Amanda out there, and thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stand by. Playback ready. initiating sequence.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
It is sponsored this afternoon by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. I think it's fair to say there are a lot of negatives about social media, and we seem to see more of them as every week goes by. But there are a lot of positives, too, and I love it when something really takes off in viral fashion, like Diane in Brooklyn. Diane in Brooklyn was just walking by a brownstone. Some dude was playing guitar, and it's been snowing a lot, and she picked up on the fact that a lot of people are complaining about the snow. We've been complaining here in St. Louis. It's March, right? We shouldn't have weather like this. But Diane in Brooklyn puts it into perspective.
We getting mad because of snowing, but it's winter outside. I mean, we are a bunch of weird people, okay? What? If it was summer and it was snowing, yes, it is winter. It's winter. Hello, it's winter. Hello, about 3-4 weeks ago, it was what? 3 degrees outside. It's a heat wave out here now. Hello, it's winter, yes. I'm not surprised. I love it. It's winter. Let's work with it. This is a heat wave. This is a heat wave. 3 degrees, 3 weeks ago. How soon we forget.
Diane from Brooklyn, you know, suck it up, people, is basically what she's saying. Quit your complaining. It reminds me of, you know, we're not seeing these analyses very much these days with Donald Trump in office and a better economy. But remember when the economy was always terrible for the most part, like 75% of the time when Barack Obama was president, and they kept blaming, you know, President Bush year after year after year. It's going to be decades and decades before he doesn't get blamed for things. But it was always, you know, when that first quarter GDP came out, it was always something terrible that happened with the winter weather. And as Diane has reminded us, guess what? This is kind of the dirty little secret of weather, ladies and gentlemen. Winter occurs every year. Snow occurs every year. Now, maybe not in the same amounts, but just deal with it. It is winter. It's almost spring, though. So, Diane, you got to cut us a little slack here because we're used to sunshine in St. Louis and warmer temperatures. It's going to be 12 tonight. So, there is that. Total information, PM, coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.